Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
And it's especially great to see Jack. Woohoo! Our first hymn, our prelude hymn today, is 561. 561 is Jesus United by Thy Grace, and we'll be singing verses 1 through 4.
Sunday is Mother's Day, and then Sunday after that, the 17th, we'll have an ad board meeting, and Ben back there, he's still working on a list. He still needs ladders. He's the ladder man for that project. Any other announcements? Where's all your sisters?
On the calendar.
I think that answers that question without even saying it.
What's that?
They're at Bennington. No. Woodside Village Park.
Oh, I saw they were having one.
First one.
I won't ask you such tough questions.
Okay, next time.
Especially when you're in church.
That was the truth.
That'll be chilly.
Like
well,
it
was
chilly in the track meet. I was at all day
yesterday.
Oh boy.
I bet it was.
It was sleeted
and then
it
rained and
then
it was cold.
We had the sun today.
Yes, we do have some sunshine today. Any other announcements?
I'd like to thank everybody. We got over $300 for the people to go to the Zoom Tuesday, so please pray that we don't have rain.
Okay.
Yeah.
Going Tuesday.
Residents
and
11.
Wow.
Okay. I think it's supposed to be decent.
I hope so.
Is that right? But warmer. Okay. We'll pray that they have a safe trip.
Thanks.
Enjoy their time.
Yes. They're really looking forward
to it. I'll bet so. Any other announcements? If not, join me in prayer for the invocation. God, Father, we thank you for everyone that is here today. We're always thankful. Thank you for giving us a beautiful morning and another day. Be with Pastor David as he brings the message, that your words would flow through him and everyone would leave here having received a blessing today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
worship is in your bulletin. In Christ we are made new.
The old is gone, the new has come.
God has reconciled us to himself.
And has entrusted us the message of reconciliation.
We are ambassadors for Christ.
We live as instruments of God's peace and love.
Gracious God, empower us to live the new life you have given.
Help us to forgive
as we have been forgiven.
To cease frustration
where there is division.
And to proclaim your reconciling love with our words and actions.
Amen.
Our next hymn is Where Charity and Love Prevail. And I know we sang this just a number of weeks ago, but it's really pertinent again to the topic today, so we thought it wouldn't hurt to sing it again. So it's 549, and we will skip verses 2 and 6.
Stand if you'd like.
Lord, we thank you. We invite you here this morning with gratitude for all that you have given us over our lives, the gifts, the talents, the beauty, the family, the friends. We ask that you accept a small token back to you in the form of our tithes and our offerings, that these funds may be multiplied and rightfully used for your purpose and your kingdom. We give you this morning, we give you our lives, and we give you our riches. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Concerns and praises at this time. Is she still in hospital, do you know? Oh, okay, she's still in the hospital. Yeah, just for those of you that don't know.
I'd like to have put back on the prayer list. She fell, and this was the 10th of April, and she was in ICU. They had to put two rods in her, and then this is my niece. And they had to thin her because she only had up her lungs. So in order to do this, now they have her back on a van at night, but she's have been doing a lot of crap. And we need prayers too. Our first two visits was screaming matches because we got lost.
Pat, the third time was, we got it. So anyway, we just, you know, we need strength and prayers. And hopefully, she's doing a lot better. They put that in experimental, and because when she had COVID and they had put that down her throat, it had damaged her. They had done damage, you know, and she had a hard time talking anyway. You could hardly understand it then. Now, if without this, and it is helping. You can't understand some of the words she's saying now. Once she leaves, she's going to have to go to a rehab because they don't do the rehab there. They're just working on it, and it was infected. Mm. Anyway, we need lots of prayers. And Paul, I did talk, and as far as I know, they were to take the they did put him on it. They can't take. They hooked it up to, and he's still not his own. So this is just a wait and see, and you know, God's will.
I couldn't tell which ones.
I have a tongue twister. And I'm sure it wasn't the cause for the argument.
Oh, yeah, I'm telling
you. I was excluded.
She's hard-headed. Beyond hard-headed.
I want to thank the Lord. That's the reason I'm here. I do have I'm not on medication right now, and my resistance down, so I have to be careful.
Okay.
But keeping in your prayers. I'm Randy. Thank you.
Welcome back.
I'll be traveling this coming. Can't do that all in one day, so I'm going to break the trip in Kent. I'll be there with my mom a couple days, and then I got to do the rivers. Depending on how I feel, to get back home. I haven't done a drive that long in a long time, so traveling mercy prayers would be appreciated.
Okay. Travel mercies for her. You'll see she's not with her. And you can imagine where she went, Pastor, to watch a soccer game.
No better trip than that.
On her return from...
Man, it just gets better and better and better.
Yeah, I would just pray for safe travels for Elle.
You know, there is a book for grabs if you don't sign up for Pirates.
Yeah.
I figure if you're a Steelers fan, you must like the Pirates as well.
I did watch them a little bit yesterday against the Cincinnati Reds.
Oh, so man, don't even bring
let's see,
up the Reds.
It was 15-4 when I turned it on, and then they hit it. So I don't know where it ended up.
They were busy watching the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, the Reds were busy watching
that's
the Kentucky Derby.
I think that one game was 17.
I know
they
were 14 points behind or something like that.
I'll bet he was happy over that.
He was.
You already heard about it, huh?
Yeah.
The Reds won.
No.
At least we
got
Ohio State.
They got blown out.
I would be surprised.
They got blown out.
In one inning, sports talk is brought to you by. In one inning, the Reds walked, and they now have. They either tied or they have the record seven.
Yeah, the record.
Batters consecutively.
The right.
Professional baseball team right. Walking seven batters in a row.
After a long winning streak, and then they do that.
Doesn't that drive a couple runs?
It does something.
Bases, are there?
You don't get the 15-4 by doing nothing.
Kept bringing in pitchers and walks. Pitchers and walks. Crazy. Thank you, Sports Center. It was the Empire's fault, but now they got a square box. You can't play all the time.
Yeah.
You doing well?
Very well.
Great.
Doing really good.
Great. Do a prayer, Pastor.
All right. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for the glorious sunshine, even though the temperatures might be a little cool. we are in the midst of spring. We look out at all the trees as they're coming into leaf and the flowers are blooming, and for some, the great news of mowing grass, others maybe not so excited about that chore, but we thank you for the newness. We thank you that we don't have to do anything. We don't have to set an alarm. We don't have to send in a text to get things rolling each year. You have it, so the newness just appears. And I thank you that each day is new for us as well. We just ask that each day you remind us to pick up our cross, to recommit ourselves to you and your purpose and your goals in each of our lives. We ask that you continue to be with the missions group as they are speeding headlong into 240 teenagers coming to help us in this community. We ask that you prepare each one of them, that you prepare their families, that you prepare the missions group and all who are working and volunteering to help. We hope that as we get closer to the finish line, that all things would be brought together. That even in our struggles of how are we going to finish this, how is this going to work, that you will somehow miraculously work and bring it all together. There's so much need in our community for that type of service. And it is great and refreshing to see some young people who are committing themselves to the purpose of Christ, to serving beyond themselves, not what they can get out of this, but what they can give in the name of Christ. We just ask that you're with them all as they continue to prepare for that week. God, we just ask that you're with, she's a little under the weather, that you would give her your comfort, that you would let her know that we're thinking about her and praying for her, and that she would recover quickly. We ask that you're with, she is in the hospital in Marion. We just ask that, again, you would work the medical staff for her greatest purpose, that you would touch her and let her know that she is in our prayers as well. Give her your comfort as she lays in the hospital. We also ask that you're with you as she fell and she's in a hospital up in Maine. Continue to heal her from that and fix all the things that need fixing. Again, be with her medical staff. We ask that you're with her as they take trips back and forth to visit. Make it a time of peace, fellowship, and love between sisters as they have many hours together in the car. Let them feel your presence in the car with them as they travel. We ask that you continue to be with he continues to heal, figure out in all of the issues that they have to deal with him. We just ask that that situation would shake itself out, the truth would come out, that the right outcome would be one that you have ordained. We thank you that you are back with us this morning. We just ask that you continue to give her strength, that the medication that she's on would be beneficial, that she protects herself against any type of infection, getting sick, breathing in anything that isn't good for her body. And we thank you for his service to her. Continue to care for them and give them your strength. We ask that you're with her. She travels this week from here to be with her family. We just ask that that time be precious. We know that we're all getting older. We're all getting more difficult to travel from point A to point B. We just ask that you would go with her, that you would intervene with her family, that it be a time of remembering, a time of fun and laughter. And then as she returns home, that you are with her as well as she travels back to be with us again. We ask that you're with her as she travels back. I just ask that you continue to just protect all of us as we're with our family and our friends. I had time with her grands, watching them. Families and friends have become a unique situation over the past several years. The time of isolation was one that set a difficult path for a lot of us. We fight over politics, we fight over family history, we fight over all kinds of things. The real reason for my message this morning is just that very thing. We just ask that you bring a spirit of reconciliation. That as we spend time with our friends and our families, that it melts away the differences that we have. Because eventually, unfortunately, those people will not be around any longer. I hate the idea of wasting the few precious hours and days and months and years in conflict with those who we love. God, we thank you that is doing well. We thank you that that surgery went as well as it did. Give her strength and your strength. We thank you for the entire family who was always there for her. We are excited for her full recovery. We just ask again for her patience, that she take her time and recover the way the doctors would have her recover. And God, we just ask that you are with the residents and the staff as they go to the zoo this Tuesday. What a wonderful trip, a way to get out, see the animals and the glories of your creation. Be with them as they travel down to make it just a time of wondrous excitement for all of them. And God, we just lift up all of our family in this congregation who are not with us this morning. For whatever reason, we just ask that you would be with them, that you would give them your peace and your comfort. Let them know that they are missed, and we are praying for them. And God, as we do, I just pray that we remember that prayer that you gave to us, the one that we're to hold in our hearts and our minds to be used when we don't know what to say, when we're struggling, when we are confused. That simple prayer that says, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
Our prayer hymn today is 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus, and that is 462. Just to take it at his word.
scripture reading this morning comes from Romans 11, verses 11 through 24. In the previous chapter, as Paul is preaching to the people, there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 11, starting with verse 11. So I ask, have they stumbled as to fall? By no means. But through their stumbling, salvation has come to the Gentiles, and it has made Israel jealous. Now, if their stumbling means riches for the world, and their defeat means riches for Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? So as you can see, this is not making the Jews very happy. Now I am speaking to you Gentiles, inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles. I glorify my mystery in order to make my own people jealous, and in thus save some of them. For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what would their acceptance be but life from the dead? If a part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. And if the root is holy, then the branches are also holy. Now he gets into teaching like a parable that Jesus would give. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, as a wild olive shoot, were grafted in their place to share the rich root of the olive tree, do not boast over the branches. If you do boast, remember that it is not you that supports the root, but the root supports you. You will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand only through faith. So do not become proud, but stand in awe. For if God did not spare the natural branches, perhaps he will not spare you. Note the kindness and the severity of God. Severity for those who have fallen, but God's kindness towards you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you will also be cut off. And even those of Israel, if they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in. For God has the power to graft them in again. For if you have been cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted, contrary to nature, into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will all these natural branches be grafted back into their own olive tree? This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I encourage you to read that this afternoon. I had to read it two or three times to get it through my pea brain. There's a lot of message right there.
I love reading a lot of the stuff that Paul writes, but Lynn's correct. You have to slow yourself way down. He was a brilliant scholar. Started off on the wrong foot, coming after God's people, but after a little encounter on this road to Damascus, he has switched to one of the most profound scripture writers that we have. And I agree, he is well worth spending some time with. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 18 simply says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. there's a lot of us struggling, or who have struggled. What's my ministry? What can I do? Do I serve? Do I teach? Do I pray? Do I preach? But here's one that is laid out vividly for all of us, the ministry of reconciliation. One of the more difficult ministries you will engage in, admittedly, but the one that is crucial for God's kingdom. We live in an extremely divided world. We have families that are torn apart by conflict, communities that are split for all various and sundry reasons, politics, prejudices, and even churches sometimes fracture over secondary issues. Anger spreads faster than grace. We just don't have the ability anymore. Let me rephrase that. We just don't take the opportunity anymore to speak with those who we differ and do it out of love and compassion and truly trying to seek a resolution that is acceptable to both sides. Yet in the middle of all this brokenness, God has given his people, us, a beautiful and urgent assignment. Urgent assignment, and that's bringing people together. The very heart of the gospel is reconciliation. The reason Jesus did what Jesus had to do is so that we sinners could be reconciled to the Father. And if that's the sole reason for Jesus to come and to do what he did, how much more important is it for us to continue that process of helping people be reconciled to the Father. And the other thing to remember is Jesus did not hang on that cross after we had become perfect. Jesus didn't give a message of, you guys get your acts together and then I'll die on your behalf. Scripture says, yet while we were still sinners, we had no idea of what we were doing. Yet, he hung on the cross for you and for me. He reconciled us to himself, not because we deserved it, but because of his great love. And here's the powerful truth. Once God reconciles us to himself, he immediately gives us the ministry of reconciliation. We are not just saved from sin, we are saved for the work of bringing others back into a relationship with Christ himself. So what does reconciliation look like? Reconciliation is far more than just simply getting along with people. It's a courageous work of restoring broken relationships. It means turning enemies into friends, crossing divided lines of race, politics, class, and culture, choosing forgiveness even when it's painful and it hurts, seeking understanding instead of victory in arguments and building bridges instead of walls. And if you are unfortunate to be in a family where these kinds of broken relationships are at the forefront, they are more painful than you can imagine. But that's just one type of reconciliation, a brother to a brother, or a father to a son, or a mother to a daughter, or sister to a brother, whatever you want to fill in the relationship there. But the reconciliation doesn't stop there. Those are the ones that seem to make sense. Well, I should be nicer to my brother or my mother or my cousin. But this is reconciliation based on even those who despise you, who hate you, who think you have nothing of value to add. Jesus is our perfect example. He left the glory of heaven to come down and live in this squalor, this terrible, awful place called earth. He touched the untouchables, he loved the unlovable, and forgave those even who crucified him. His entire ministry was about bringing divided people together around the table of grace. The early church lived this out dramatically. Jews and Gentiles who had despised each other for centuries sat together and ate together and worshiped together because of Jesus. The explanation that Paul gives in that scripture is we were grafted onto that tree of life that was originally set for the Jews. And through a series of stumbling and fumbling, some of the Jews were broken off and broken away. And through the death and resurrection and the things that Christ did for you and I, we were taken as an unknown species and grafted into that tree of life that exists today. So why is bringing people together so crucial and important? First of all, it proves that the gospel is real. Anyone can preach about love, but when people who naturally disagree or dislike each other choose to love and serve one another because of Christ, the world takes notice. It reflects the character of God. Our God is a reconciling God. Every time we work to bring people together, we show the world what he is like. We don't do this out of our own strength. We don't do this out of our own pat on the back. For those of us who have estranged children, yes, I would love for those situations to be over, and there's some selfishness in that. But when I speak to those who hate me because I pastor a church or because I call myself a Christian, those are the ones that you just want to throw your hands up and say, this isn't worth it. Until you think about Christ on the cross. That was worth everything to you and to those who hate us. And God's character is one that is available for all of us, not just a select few. It advances the kingdom of God. Division weakens our witness and grieves the Holy Spirit. Unity releases power and brings glory to Jesus. We should be, on a daily basis, praying for all of those who call themselves believers, who are sitting in churches around the world, who are preaching a message of division, of things that go against Christ and his love and his message, who are dragging people farther and farther away from the church and away from the truth. We saw that it was wrong and we walked away as we should have done. There are still many in the situation that are still there, that need our prayers, that are blinded to the lies and the falsehoods that are being taught in our very churches this very Sunday morning. We should seek reconciliation with all people, not just the ones who look like us and sound like us and preach like us. Why should we do this? It heals our own hearts. Harboring bitterness or staying isolated slowly poisons us. As this hatred begins to fester, it separates us from more than just Christ himself, but one another. The work of reconciliation sets us free, even as we attempt to help others become free as well. So how do we practically live out this ministry of reconciliation? Bringing people together starts with small, faithful steps. There are no grand magic bullets that we can employ to fix all of what is problematic in our world. The first thing is we're to be quick to listen and slow to speak when someone disagrees with us. Let them have their peace. Let them say what they want to say. Arguing will get us nowhere. It's not until we fully understand the objections of the other side that we can come in and answer those objections with the truth of Christ. We should reach across the aisle, invite someone from a different background, generation, or viewpoint into our lives. At the senior center, I love and I try whenever I can to bring the generations together. The old and the young. Because without that camaraderie, without that closeness of the two groups, those who don't understand each other, they will never understand each other. So when you see somebody that you disagree with, don't turn and walk away. Say hi. Ask them how they're doing today. It may blow up, may backfire, but God wants us to take the time to try. Practice forgiveness even when the other person doesn't deserve it. Again, Christ didn't wait until we were perfect to hang on the cross. That wouldn't have been needed. We're needed when we're imperfect and when we're sinful, and so do others. Pray for those who you find difficult to love. Might be somebody in your own family, at least for a season. But we're to pray continuously for those who disagree with us. And speak words that build up instead of tear down. Tearing down is such an easy thing to do. You get in this mindset with your friends and this other person on the side is problematic and it just becomes easy to whatever. At the senior center, I had an in-service. We have to do it annually with my staff, and we did that on Thursday. And that was one of the encouragements that I gave to my staff because I noticed over the past whatever. Now, I hate to break this news to you, but some seniors who live in Morrow County are difficult individuals. I know, And so the easy thing to do when you continually run into those difficult individuals is to become difficult back at them. Maybe not to their face, but it's all the same result. So I had to encourage my people, my staff, myself, that we're all worthy of politeness and care and good words. And that's what God is telling us, that we're all worthy of His love, so we should all be worthy of our love as well. You don't need to agree with everything to live in unity. But we must agree on this, that no wall is stronger than the love of Christ, and no division is too great for the power of the Holy Spirit. So our personal challenge for this morning is this. I want us to prayerfully ask ourselves two questions. One, is there a broken or strained relationship in my life that God is calling me to help heal? And if you have no relationships, friendships, encounters that don't bring some sort of stress, some sort of problem into your life, I would love to talk with you because you are one blessed individual. But think about, is there somebody in our life, a relationship that we need to have God help us heal? And two, who is the person or group of individuals that you've been avoiding or judging that the Lord might want me to move toward in love? Is there someone, is there a group, is there something that you have been avoiding that you would want to ask God for his help for you to move back into that relationship? Because avoidance is not a solution. It's the easy way out. But Jesus didn't avoid us, and he still doesn't. He sent his Spirit to be with us so that it can dwell within us and help us and give us strength and guidance and direction in peace and in love. This ministry of reconciliation is not optional for followers of Jesus. It is our calling. So as we leave here, as we come together to eat our meal, let us do so with mindful anticipation of what and who in our lives do we need to be reconciled to. One for our purpose, one for our peace, one for our satisfaction, but a greater issue is that they may be reconciled to God himself. If we could go ahead and pass out the elements for communion. As we do that, let's pray for this meal and for our reconciliation. Jesus, we thank you for who you are, that your Son came down to hang on the cross that we might be reconciled to you. Be with us as we share this meal together. Let us do so with clean hearts and clean minds, preparing to worship you. Give us your strength. Give us your service. In Jesus' name, amen. This week I was thinking about communion, preparation for communion, and just the whole interaction that Jesus had with his good friends. Not perfect friends. Matter of fact, he knew that there was one that was going to be at that meal that was going to betray him. He was going to turn his back on him for 30 pieces of silver, for riches. Yet Jesus comes, meets with his brothers during Passover, the most important time in the Christian or in the Jewish religion. And they share the meal together. Some talk about they reclined as they shared their meal together. It was a time of peace. It was a time of fellowship. All the time God was prepared, Jesus was prepared for what was to happen. There's nothing in our lives that surprises God. And there's nothing in our lives that we can hide from him. We walk through life with an understanding of so many things that we deal with are difficult, are problematic. Yet, God has demonstrated his love for us, starting out with this simple meal. if we think about the Monday Thursday meal that we shared, the Passover Seder that they would have actually engaged in with the lamb, most likely, with the stews, with the fruits, the wonderful meal as Jesus sat with his disciples, preparing them for the news that would rock their world and ours. And he does this each and every day of our lives. He lets us walk. He lets us exist. He lets us stumble. And in the 11th hour, he reaches down, grabs us by the hand, and pulls us back up. So this meal is just not a simple ritual that we do in the church because it's something that we do each month. It's a reminder that God, even in our fallenness, even in our sinfulness, even as we are imperfect, God is there waiting for you and for me to turn, to repent from those things that we have stumbled over, allowing him to grab us by the hand and stand us up again. So as we share this meal, let us not only do it for this morning, but let us do it as a reminder of who Christ is in our lives each and every day. So at the end of the meal, Jesus is with his disciples. And he takes the bread and he raises it and he gives thanks. And he breaks it and he says, "Eat this bread, which represents my body." And in the same way, after the meal, Jesus took the cup. He raised it, he gave thanks, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Blood spilled for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink." And we're reminded, Corinthians reminds us, that as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ until he comes to return for his bride once again. Will you please pray with me? Dear Lord, we thank you for this meal that we can share together, the same meal, the same intent that you shared with your disciples, your friends, your loved ones, sitting around the table at Passover so many years ago. The difference is we are on this side of your crucifixion and your resurrection. We know that you're there for us. We know that you promise to be always with us, to be always faithful to us. And we ask that you would give us the strength to remain always faithful to you as well. Set us forth on that ministry of reconciliation this very day, to bring broken relationships back together and to bring those people back to you. We give you this day, we give you our lives, and we give you all of those relationships that have been broken in our lives. We ask for your help and your guidance, in Jesus' name, amen.
And this next song is from the 1980s. I'm probably aware that I'm sort of keenly follow the timing of some of the music that we do. The words to Love and Charity, which we did earlier, were actually written in the 9th century, so 800 AD. So between these two songs, we're spanning well more than 1,000 years of faith and praise and worship. And I find that comforting in this world.
And you may not have noticed that there was a tambourine hidden up here behind the pulpit.
I don't think I should have ever shared my percussion background.
But the pastor is graciously agreed to use again for our 1980s style closer. And in the 80s and 90s, huge Christian revival, and so many wonderful worship leaders and songwriters came out of that. This person I'm less familiar with, Dave Bilbro, but when Graham Kendrick was still alive in the streets, so many other. Matt Redman, anyway, we get to relive a little bit of it today.
C.S. Lewis on what we've been talking about this morning. The church exists for nothing else but to draw men into Christ, to make them little Christ. God became man for no other purpose.
Amen.
Amen.
Now go out into this broken world as ambassadors of reconciliation. Live boldly, forgive freely, bringing people together for the glory of God and the sake of the gospel. In his name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.